nation. And because of the intentional mindset of this perpetrator who went around our barricades in order to conduct this, he was hell-bent on creating the carnage and the damage that he did.
And special agent in charge for FBI New Orleans. As Chief Kirkpatrick said, we'll be taking over the investigative lead for this event. This is not a terrorist event.
Boy, you talk about a confusing set of messages. I know it's breaking news, but they had, you know, 3 or 4 hours to figure out what they were going to say. And the mayor says it's terrorism. The FBI says it's not terrorism. It's safe to go about your business in New Orleans, but stay away from Bourbon Street because at the time there was a known assailant at large. He has since been killed, according to Fox News and several other sources say that that's been the case. Joining us now just to get a little bit of perspective on, you know, how we handle things here in Pensacola. Mike Wood, who's public information officer for PPD, joins us now. And I will tell you, we have Mike on tomorrow at 7:35, and I was really going back and forth about whether we would just wait until tomorrow until we knew more. But I know he's a voice you're familiar with, and I knew he would have some perspective on this. I wanted to get him to you as soon as we could. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Horrible day. Something that we know a little bit about here in Pensacola, right?
Yeah. We've had issues, but nothing on this scale, and thank God for that. Our prayers are with those in New Orleans, not only the victims and their families, but the first responders that are dealing with this tragedy. What I've seen so far is, this is a fluid situation there, and you're going to have conflicting messages come out on something like this. But there needs to be a single source of information. There needs to be what's called a JIC, a Joint Information Center, set up, and then you get a message out to the public. And I think that's what they're trying to get done right now. But as the superintendent said, that this was done on purpose. This was meant to harm as many people as possible. And when you start to put labels on it, whether it is or is not a terrorist attack, that can cause some problems. So, fortunately, here again, we haven't had anything on this scale. But we prepare anytime somebody wants to cause harm like this. They're going to do it where there's major crowds, and in the city of Pensacola, when we have parades and things like that downtown, we have the bollards. We have a lot of police presence. We've had dump trucks closing intersections where vehicles can't get around. So, to be quite honest, we're going to do everything that we can to keep the public safe, and we do that every time there's an event downtown. But sometimes when a person is hell bent on destruction, there's not a lot you can do to totally stop that.
Yeah, and I, certainly well aware that there are limitations, and kind of like the whole, like the Secret Service thing that we've been talking a lot about over the course of this last several months, is that the Secret Service has to be perfect 100% of the time, and an evildoer only has to be right one. And in a case like this, any flaw or failure in the defensive protections for the revelers is, it's going to be particularly magnified if the bad guy tends to find it. I was just a little surprised because the superintendent, and again, I'm very cautious about criticizing law enforcement, especially when a thing has just happened, because who knows what might turn out to be true. But I know from what you said and what I've seen myself is when there are events in downtown Pensacola, the intersections are blocked. You're putting a truck or the bollards up and you just can't get through. It's not like you put it there for symbolism. It's there to be you're usually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they typically have material in them. They're not even empty because this is going to stop a car. Am I right?
It should, but I'm never going to say it will.
Okay.
We're going to do everything that we can, and that's what they're designed to do, is to stop vehicles. They do a very good job of that. So do the dump trucks, but again, if somebody is just set on doing something like that, they can do that. And we're going to do everything that we can, and we do everything that we can to keep the public safe in our city.
And, staffing, you guys are always dealing with budgets and overtime and having a number of officers and all of that kind of stuff. But the philosophy is people need to be kept safe. That's the only thing that matters in this four-hour chunk of time, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we're not, you can't put a price on safety, and the city has never done that. They're going to do whatever it takes to keep the public safe, and they always have.
When you also, we're talking with Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. I was kind of curious. I'm always cautious asking you questions like this because I know there's a lot you either can't or don't want to say, because I don't want you to tell the whole world what you do to protect people, because part of what you do to protect people is not tell them what you're doing to protect them, because then the bad guys don't know too, right? And so I get that. But when I see parades, and of course we're in all these parades, so I see law enforcement. I see lots of cops and badges. I see lots of, you know, I don't see, but I know there are lots of undercover. But I see dump trucks blocking intersections, and I see cop cars at intersections, and I see a very aggressive effort to, you know, there's no parked cars. You know, like the stuff that you really do is, there's a lot, right?
Yeah, you know, preparing for a parade, it takes hours and hours, and sometimes a day ahead of time to, you know, signage goes up to let people know you can't park there. Because it is a parade route, and you know, and we will, if we have to tow a vehicle, we will. That's not something that we normally do. Usually, people will come and move their vehicles, but that's why we do that. And sometimes we get some flack for it. You know, why are you making us move the vehicle this early? Because, you know, and because it takes time to clear that parade route and make sure everything is safe, and that's why we do it.
Last thing before I let you go, Mike, thank you so much for being available on New Year's Day. You're always available, and I really appreciate you for that. Thinking about these kinds of incidents, thinking about these kinds of events, I don't know. People want to know that they're safe, right? People want to believe that they can go about their daily business. And your message to people who might be, you know, waking up and seeing what's happening here and thinking about their safety.
Well, that's our number one priority. There isn't a one on top of that. And we're always going to do that. One thing that we are very adamant about, and this goes all the way from the very top, you know, from the mayor's office all the way to the police department and other departments, is they let us be transparent. We are transparent. We're going to make sure that our citizens know exactly what we're doing, why we do it, and a lot of times how we do it. We just want to make sure everybody understands what's going on, and communication is huge in situations like this, both before and after. You know, let make sure the public knows that we are prepared, but at the same time, we know that we can't stop everything. And if something does go wrong, then we have to be transparent to the public, let them know exactly what we have, what we do know at this time, and then give updates, constant updates very quickly, to make sure there's no misinformation or disinformation begins to form and get out.
No, I completely appreciate that. And I'm sorry, I lied to you. There was one other thing I wanted to ask. I know the answer to the first part because you've already said it, but number one, you guys are always thinking about the danger from a vehicle, this kind of ramming threat, certainly, that comes. I know that's true, but was there a, like, heightened awareness about that kind of a danger leading up to, like, New Year's Eve and Christmas this year that has kind of been reported? Had that percolated down to, you know, PPD's level?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, if we ever get information on threats or things like that, we will certainly act on it immediately, but nothing that I'm made aware of.
All right, very good. Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, thanks again so much for your time on New Year's Day. I really appreciate it. And please, you know it's always true, but please pass along to all of your folks how much we appreciate what they do to keep us safe and to reassure us and to be committed to getting out information so that we know what's going on in the, God forbid, moment that something does happen. I appreciate it, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
819 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has got traffic a little bit lated for you. I'm sorry about that. John?
It's okay. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110. Actually, traffic is flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a fantastic selection of good quality cars, 300 on the lot at any given moment. You know, SUVs, sedans, compacts, sports cars, whatever you want to try. And, you know, maybe they have what you want. They have good quality used cars, you know, 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition. That's all they do, because they're going to warranty that car to 10 years or 100,000 miles. They're going to stand by it. You know, they want you to feel like you're buying almost a new car, you know, a car that's basically new to you, maybe one, maybe two owners, but, you know, one that you can really count on. And if they have what you want in stock, buy it. I mean, it'll be a good price and they'll stand by it. Maybe they have something close and you discover that you want this, but you want it in a little bit different trim package. You want the power steering, or not power steering, but the power windows instead of the crank ones or whatever. Or you want the power seat instead of the manual adjust. Or, you know, you want one that's a different color. Well, send them looking. Maybe you want more miles because you'll pay less, or you want fewer miles and you're willing to pay more. Send them looking. They go buy cars at auctions all the time. Frontier Motors, they can work on your behalf. Find the car that you need. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
So this new dose is... Nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There's a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey man, a lot of guys your age are running, sir. It's cool. There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm 25.
And I'm saying it's never too late.
Just watch Point Break over the weekend. It's never too late to learn to surf. I'm 25. Like I say, man, it's never too late. 8:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, thank you very much, Andrew. Well, it was a dark start to 2025 in Puerto Rico this morning. Most of the island rang in the new year with no power. They had some type of an infrastructure problem at a power plant on the island's southern coast. More than a million people were left without power overnight on New Year's Eve. There's some concerns among residents there that the government hasn't done enough to fix the issue. Puerto Rico Governor Pedro Pierluisi said on X that he's been in touch with energy companies and they are demanding answers and solutions to that issue. 10 people were hurt in Massachusetts yesterday when a toy display fell onto a crowd during a New Year's Eve event. This happened at a balloon drop at an arcade west of Salem. And a plastic brick display built on a ledge that was about 12 feet up apparently collapsed and then fell onto the crowd. All the injuries, though, were described as being minor.
Okay. A Lego display during a balloon drop fell on celebrators at a toy store and injured 10.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
okay. I just want to make sure I've captured the essence of it.
That was pretty good.
Very unusual story. Okay. I'm glad everybody's mostly okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, just
Lego minor trauma is real, by the way.
You know, if anybody stepped on the Legos to get out, where the real danger comes in.
Well, you got to figure there's like the first danger, which is falling on your head, and then there's the subsequent danger of walking on them afterwards, although presumably most of the toy store balloon drop revelers were wearing footwear.
You would think.
But had it been
happened in Florida, the flip-flops.
Barefoot New Year's Day balloon drop toy store revelry, then maybe more danger could have been involved. Yeah,
absolutely. Also, this story coming out of Georgia, a judge was found dead in a courtroom this week, and it was apparently supposed to be his last day on the job. Sheriff's deputies in Effingham County say Judge Stephen Yeckel died on Tuesday morning. It appeared to be a suicide. He'd lost his reelection bid in November, and his term ended on the 31st.
Effingham, Illinois, did you say the state?
No, Georgia.
Okay, Georgia, okay. I know it's just my brain, and I lived in Illinois, so Effingham's a very familiar name, although Georgia also has one. But when you said Effingham, my brain went a different direction.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I'd never thought about it until you said it. That seems like, well, that's a profanity substitute, right? When you say it's Effingham.
See, my brain hadn't gone there.
Yeah, it's just, you know, yeah. It's New Year's Day and I haven't even been drinking. John Pickens has got traffic on
that,
the fives. John,
that we can approve.
Can't right prove now. A thing.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Traffic's flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Who hasn't been drinking?
I know, right?
Come on, that was like that was uncharitable of me, but, you know. Anyway, Happy New Year's, by the way. Hey, if you're 64, turning 65, and you don't want to think about it, don't listen. No, if you're, you know, you're going to go through some changes in the way your health care coverage works, your health insurance. You're going to switch over onto, you know, Medicare. And that might be a little scary for you because you've never done that before, obviously. And you might have questions and you might wonder, what does this mean? And, you know, what is Advantage and what is Supplement and what is Medicaid? Does Medicaid apply to me? I don't understand what this stuff is. What plan? Prescription drugs? Okay, listen. It can seem complicated. And if you're retiring, you know, same thing. It can seem, or if you need to make changes to your plan, it can seem. But look, Ricky Stewart is great. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's smart. She's wonderful. She's very kind. And when you talk to her, she'll have answers. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one slice that she does, so she can help you. So if you got questions about Medicare or Medicaid, 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance. 827 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is going to be kind of interesting. You know, on Friday, we're going to have the vote for Speaker of the House as Congress gets back in session. And who's going to be the Speaker? It's an open question. It's an open question because it's a math problem. I'm going on memory, but I think I've got the numbers right. I think it's 219 to 215, maybe 220 to 215. But three of those seats are vacant. Nancy Mace, Michael Wallace, and Matt Gaetz, because of Trump nominating people to other positions. So it's like 217 to 215, I think, is the number, if I remember correctly. I'm working on memory here, but I think that's correct. Anyway, and so it's very close. It's really, really, really close in Congress. That number seems wrong to me. I know it's a margin of two.
I think it's 218.
Okay.
I think 218 is the number right now.
But if even one person who's a Republican defects, now you got a tie. So they can't afford either one or I know they definitely cannot afford two. So, and Speaker Johnson is not that popular with everybody. There are some people who are saying that he is not got the votes, which is going to be a problem. Also, you know, you have Trump saying that he supports Speaker Johnson in an effort to avoid this problem. This is kind of the underreported story of the election. You know, gaining seats in the Senate, Trump winning the presidential election, that was all kind of the big front page news. The lesser reported fact is the narrow, squeaky, narrow margin for the Republicans in the House. And then, to make matters worse, Trump, you know, swipes three of them out of the House, one plus two, let's say, and reduces the margin even more, meaning that for the first couple of months, it's going to be rough. And even after that, you know, these are all safe seats. They're all going to be Republican seats when, you know, time is done. But still, you know, between now and then, you've got to, you know, get work done. So will he or won't he? Well, Representative Massey says, I respect and support President Trump, but his endorsement of Mike Johnson is going to work out about as well as his endorsement of Speaker Paul Ryan. And Representative Roy kind of saying the same thing. So we'll see. I would say it is definitely uncertain at this point whether Mike Johnson's continuing as Speaker. And I don't really want to watch this again. It's so long. And every break, and then they take the vote, and these votes take a half an hour. You remember watching the whole Matt Gaetz, Kevin McCarthy, Speaker Johnson thing the last time? I don't. I don't want to spend my New Year watching all of this. Just give me the highlights later.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. First, the celebration in Times Square, New York. And then the tragedy, mass casualty incident in New Orleans, 10 people dead in what the mayor and now FBI call a terror attack. A driver intentionally rammed his pickup into the crowded Bourbon Street and Canal at 3:15 a.m.
This man was trying to run over as many people as he possibly could. It was not a DUI situation. This is a more complex and more serious based on the information we have.
Police Chief Kirkpatrick says the driver got out and started shooting at police, wounding two, 35 injured in all. Fox confirms the male suspect is dead. The FBI special agent in charge says possible IEDs found on Bourbon Street, urging people to stay off there. Police were already 100% staffed for the Sugar Bowl. America's listening to Fox.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got 47 degrees and sunshine this morning in Pensacola. We are continuing to follow this mass casualty incident in New Orleans this morning. Latest reports, 10 people dead, 30 plus hurt after a truck went around a police barricade and barreled down Bourbon Street.
The city of New Orleans was impacted by a terrorist attack. It's all still under investigation.
And that is New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell, who's been in contact, she says, with the White House and Louisiana Governor Landry. New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick says the suspect drove the truck at a high rate of speed down Bourbon Street, hell-bent in an attempt to kill as many people as possible. That all started at about 3:15 this morning. The suspect then crashed the vehicle, shot at police officers. Two officers were wounded. Those officers are currently in stable condition. The FBI has taken over the investigation. They are also investigating a possible improvised explosive device in that vehicle. Again, this all breaking this morning. Not a lot of information aside from those basic facts of what happened. We are expecting more information to be released at their next update, which will be at 11 o'clock this morning. And we will be following this story here throughout the day on News Radio 92.3. Taking a look at our local headlines, New Year's Eve, downtown Fairhope had to be briefly cordoned off for a reported bomb threat. Now, officials say that threat was made online through a service request form. It was made to a business in their downtown area. Police from Mobile and the K-9 team from Orange Beach cleared the business. No devices were found, and Fairhope's downtown was reopened in time for their New Year's Eve celebration last night. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office responding to some online backlash relating to their new chaplain's unit this week. They announced that new unit last week on social media and posted a photo. A volunteer in that photo, though, turned out to be a registered sex offender named Charles Martin. Records show he was convicted of a sexual battery of a minor in Escambia County in 1989. The sheriff's office deleted the original post and has since confirmed Martin is no longer serving on that chaplain's unit. The sheriff's office said Martin was never an employee at the sheriff's office but had volunteered at the jail for around 8 years. An investigation continues after that fatal train pedestrian accident in Cantonment. It happened Monday afternoon. The sheriff's office says a train hit a man on the tracks between Archer and Old Kingstrand.
Had seen somewhere, obviously, the last minute they stopped, but you don't stop trains quickly.
Sheriff Chip Simmons there, he says those type of accidents happen more often than you would think. And a New Year's Day tradition, the Polar Plunge. There's plenty of those happening around the area today. That is where people jump into cold water, and there's one on Pensacola Beach. That'll happen at Paradise Inn Bar and Grill. That usually draws large and festive crowds. Perdido Key, the polar bear dip event happening at Florabama, and there's two polar plunges going on in Navarre Beach today. One at Windjammers on the Pier, and that one's happening at noon. Then the penguin plunge at Juana's Pagodas at 12:30. But wherever you plunge, be ready for a jolt. The water temperature today, 66 degrees. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Rapid Radios. Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies offering national LTE coverage for a limited time. You can go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. No accidents to let you know about right now. Just seeing a small slowdown. If you're at Burgess and Highway 29, if you're trying to get onto Highway 29 from Burgess, you see minor delays there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing some beautiful weather as we go into the first day of your new year. Temperatures today near 62 degrees with sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 41. For Thursday, nice sunny weather with a high near 60 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 46 degrees. Keeping mostly sunny skies on that Friday with a 61 degree high. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it is a bit chilly, 47 degrees, but sunshine and a beautiful morning. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And good morning, your money now. Today, no trading on Wall Street in observance of New Year's Day. Stocks, though, did close slightly lower yesterday to cap off an otherwise winning year. The markets closing yesterday with the Dow down about 29.5 points at 42,544. The S&P was down 25 points at 58,81. The NASDAQ was down 175 points at 19,310. Looking at the bond rates yesterday, closing up a bit at 4.573%. Gold prices today, 26.41. Silver at 29.24. And, Bitcoin is up 269 today at 93.888. But the crypto markets are a little bit mixed as Ethereum's down, Solana's down. No change for Dogecoin, which is sitting at 32 cents right now. Well, there are many grocery stores, pharmacies, and retailers open today. Some might have limited hours. However, Walmart is observing their regular business hours today. Wages are going up for millions of people across the country, a total of 21 states raising their minimum wage as the new year gets started. The pay hike's expected to affect 9 million workers across the country. And it is 8:38, our next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 remembers Jimmy Carter.
I think we have a nation that is truly great, not that used to be great or someday will be great again, but one that has an innate character about it that's not adequately recognized.
Jimmy Carter served one term as our president, but since he left office in 1980, he set the gold standard of what a past president of the United States could accomplish. He was a man who used his faith to try to do the right thing, even though it may have cost him politically.
News Radio 92.3.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide?
Maybe we had this event started at about 3:15. It did involve a man driving a pickup truck down Bourbon Street at a very fast pace, and it was very intentional. behavior. This man was trying to run over as many people as he possibly could. It was not a DUI situation. This is a more complex and more serious based on the information we have right now.
That's New Orleans Police Chief Superintendent, Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick talking about this in a press conference. It was, about 2 hours ago, I think, at this point. Let me give you some of the details that she conveyed them, and then we'll talk about this situation and also the way the police are handling it now.
It is a very tragic situation for me to tell you that we know we have 10 people that this man killed on Bourbon Street. That is why we do not want anyone on Bourbon Street today. Wherever you see yellow tape, please do not violate this tape. This is in order to protect and stabilize the scene.
And at the time, that was a good note. Of course, we have heard since or reported several national news outlets have reported that the person driving the truck has been killed, which is, in my opinion, sort of the only good news of the day. Shot at officers hit two. As many as 30 people are in the hospital. 10 people killed, as you heard her say. But this... The incident itself is awful, and the incident itself is the most important thing that happened. I'm growing more and more annoyed at this way they're handling this and the dissemination of information because, look, the mayor said it was a terrorist attack, and then the FBI agent who's now taken over the investigation immediately said it was not a terrorist attack, and now Fox News is reporting that the FBI is investigating it as a terrorist incident. Come on. I mean... The guy drove a truck into Bourbon Street, got out, shot at cops, and had an IED, or allegedly had an IED. We don't know for sure. It's either obviously terrorism, or you don't say it's not terrorism. You say we're investigating. Alika Duncan is the one who said it's not terrorism.
As Chief Kirkpatrick said, we'll be taking over the investigative lead for this event. This is not a terrorist event.
You can't say that. You can't. You don't. If you don't know, you don't know. And this is what's becoming frustrating to me, thinking about the way they're I sometimes take it really for granted that we have such good law enforcement agencies here, that they're so good at public information. And I know it's not that way everywhere. But this is really embarrassingly bad. First of all, how do you go 4 hours, have your first press conference, don't even get all your information straight, and then you say it's going to be another 4 hours till we tell you anything? They should be doing press conferences every hour, every half hour. And also, you know, they should be telling you, it's the be a human rule. If you're going to do a press conference, and you should, be a person. Tell people, okay, we think there was some kind of a package in the truck. We're not sure what was in it. The person was shooting what appears to be handguns. We're not sure. We haven't recovered any weapons. It looks like terrorism, but that's an official classification, and we want to make sure we get more information before we say that that's the case. Or even just the thing about the driving around the barricades. Like, I mentioned this before, but Ann Kirkpatrick, who I think did some good things really right, but also she says this, and it just struck me so odd.
And because of the intentional mindset of this perpetrator who went around our barricades in order to conduct this, he was hell-bent on creating the carnage and the damage that he did.
Okay, she almost sounds like she's angry at him for driving, but it's a big white truck. That means that there was an inadequacy in the barricades. You know, we had Mike Wood on earlier talking about we put dump trucks at all the intersections and blocking bollards and all that kind of. It's Bourbon Street, for goodness sakes, right? Surely they thought about this. They had barricades. I hope they were big physical impediments and not just like those anti-personnel kind of like the little metal things. But here's what I'd rather hear her say. This is sort of like how to learn for crisis communications. Say something like this. You know what? We are always aware that this is a threat. This has been a threat for years, especially with the thing that just happened in Germany in the last couple of weeks. We had barricades up, but it was a dump truck and he found a way to drive around it, or he drove through a barricade or something, and just say, yeah, and we're still looking into why that happened. As opposed to, well, he drove a big white truck around our barricade. I mean, that's just, what are the general rules of problems? Always tell the truth, always say what you don't know, and always admit the obvious up front, especially if it's a bad for you kind of obvious. I know I did this wrong. I know I said this wrong. I know this is confusing. I know you're frustrated. Like, if you admit those things in advance, then that takes away the ability for somebody to say it afterwards. And I'll say this. I at first thought, you know, good for them for not answering questions. I've changed my mind on that completely. I mean, if you're going to say you're not going to answer questions, then don't change, like, later on. But invite questions. Let at least three or four get asked and answer those. Because when you don't answer questions, that also raises the level of what we're, you know, what people are speculating about. So this is a horrible incident. I don't know yet whether it's fair to say that it was a failure of the law enforcement. Okay, I think we don't know. I think you can speculate, but that's a little early. But I think the failure in communications is bad. And it's ongoing because we still got 2 hours until the next press conference to know what happened here. 437-1620, 437-1620. It's awful all around. It really is. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Even 98 rolling through Gulf Breeze looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, John. Thanks so much for the update. News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. From managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, bitchin', is this in 3D?
No, but your face is.
Good morning, 8:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, of course, the only thing that has really, kind of captured the attention of the world right now is this terrorist attack, I think, in New Orleans. The mayor called it that. The FBI says, no, it's not, but now we're investigating. So, how do you think it's going to turn out? I'm looking at some of the pictures that are available of this. You can learn a lot, but still not everything that you want to know. There are actually bullet holes in the back of the truck, like the main window to the flatbed, four of them that you can see, which would indicate incoming fire because you wouldn't have been shooting out from there, which makes it seem likely that the person who did this murderer was killed at the scene. There's a pole, like a flagpole kind of on the back left up by the driver's side on the flatbed that's got looks like a black flag of some kind wrapped around it. You can't really make it out. Of course, we had talked earlier about speculation and what would be the motive. A black flag with a little bit of white writing on it. You think maybe that would be some kind of like an ISIS flag, but of course it could also be a Jolly Roger. Who knows? You know, without knowing, it's a Texas plates on this particular truck, and there's a lot of other horrible things in this picture. David Wayne, I know you've been monitoring this very closely. Anything else that you've learned at this moment that we haven't already covered?
Well, there's not a whole lot of new information. Of course, police are not giving their next update until 11 o'clock this morning, but we will be following this throughout the day here in the newsroom as we learn more information. So, you know, we'll provide that as soon as we get it. The big thing we are seeing is that the count of injured people just continues to rise. It's up to 35 plus now. At the press conference earlier, we learned that there were various people were taken to various hospitals around the New Orleans area. And there, Ann Kirkpatrick had said that there were some unconfirmed reports that maybe there were people at other hospitals they hadn't checked with. So that count now, according to Fox News, is up to 35 plus for injured. We are still seeing the 10 confirmed as dead. So no more confirmed deaths as of right now.
All right.
But yeah, that is pretty much what we have right now. And we're going to continue monitoring that and wait for that next update at 11 o'clock this morning.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. By the way, I'm looking at one picture on TMZ that's got an aerial view from somebody up on one of the buildings looking down. The truck had crashed into what looks like a boom lift crane kind of thing that may have itself been used as a barricade for the street. I'm not sure, but that's what it crashed into. And there's, you know, parts and pieces of the truck all over the place from the ongoing incident as it was taking place. Now, tonight there's a football game. Right? The Peach Bowl? Is that right tonight? Which one is it?
Sugar Bowl.
Sugar Bowl's tonight.
Georgia Notre Dame.
Yeah, and you actually had the the police chief say, and I actually appreciated her saying this, that, you know, hey, live your life, go about your business, do your things. This is one incident, one part of town, and there's a lot of other stuff happening, including this football game tonight. But, you know, Meg, you were telling me that you've been on the, you know, texting and phone calling with people and checking on people, making sure they're okay, right?
All morning, yes. It's been a horrific tragedy, and so my concern this morning is the welfare of my friends who are there. The good news is most of the
people. Because you're a Georgia fan, and so a lot
Georgia
of people
fan.
In town for
I was
the game.
Supposed to go to the game. There were reasons why I couldn't go this time. So it's just unbelievable to me. I've been saying all morning long, I don't understand. I don't understand whether you're a terrorist or not. I don't understand these kinds of actions.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to everyone that's affected, and sadly it'll affect the game, but I'm sure that they're going to come back and make the best of it. And I know our team, I know our fans, I know Georgia, you know, college football fans are going to say, hey, you know what? We're not going to let something like this keep us from living our lives. And that's that person's intent. So they're going to go against that. And I just pray for the families that have been affected, and the repercussions of this we're going to hear all day long, more and more and more. And that's the hard part.
Your friends that are in New Orleans, how are they handling this?
They're very upset, obviously. I don't know. I mean, we've just been right now. It's so new.
Still
Andrew,
shock,
it's,
yeah.
They're in shock. I'm in shock. Right now, the texts are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. Have you heard, talked to so-and-so? Yes. I have a group that was 40 of us that were having a reunion there this weekend.
So. Wow.
sorry. I'm still kind of emotional
yeah.
about this.
Yeah.
It didn't happen to me. However,
it's pretty close.
Pretty close. But I, you know, so far so good. But God knows someone's going to get bad news this morning, and it's a terrible way to start the new year. So I'm going to keep everybody in my prayers. Please pray for everybody there. Pray for the folks in New Orleans who were there for the game, those that weren't just there partying. I've been on Bourbon Street, I hate to admit this, many times on New Year's Eve, and it's just a happy...
Oh, on New Year's Eve, okay.
Yeah, it's a happy... I mean, I can't...
It looks like a massive party.
If you haven't done it, it's one of the best things you can do. It's one of the best memories of my life being there.
And
so.
You don't have to wear Depends and hang out in the metal partitions and...
Maybe you, Andrew.
Well, I'm always amazed every year they...
I don't know where that came from, but no,
no,
maybe
that's
you.
From that's from Times Square.
Oh, no.
What people do for Times Square seems insane to me.
Yeah,
You couldn't possibly describe a worse time than what I hear people have to do.
No,
and we're learning more about
different.
This all, every yeah. year, it seems like. Go to a
Bourbon
place like
Street's
Bourbon Street,
like,
right?
You know, all bars you can go in
right.
and out of. It's all, everybody just hangs out on the street and drinks and parties and yells. And it's a wonderful, and I've been there for the Sugar Bowl twice. So, it's just a fabulous atmosphere.
I can imagine.
And this is just awful. It's just the antithesis of it. And just God help everybody, and God bless all the first responders, that people are trying to manage this right now, everyone.
And like so many of these kind, so many times what happens is, we're all normal people, And normal people don't think about this kind of stuff and don't anticipate this kind of stuff. And even though you kind of hear, well, this took place in Germany or this place, you know, you look over your shoulder a little bit, but you don't, like, you can't make that your way of life.
You don't think that it's going to happen here in America.
Right.
Certainly
right.
On New Year's Day. This is so out of the context. On New Year's Day, New Orleans, the big game, Sugar Bowl. I cannot, right now,
it's
Andrew,
inconceivable,
I can't
right.
get my mind around it. I am in shock this morning.
Yeah, now and your first instinct is to deny it, or like your brain partitions it off into some other part of your picture of reality. You're exactly right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are rolling smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. In other news, Puerto Rico is still without power. Speaking of New Year's Eve things, they lost power yesterday. Their power company is apparently not adequate. They had only had about 700,000 people without power in their most recent tropical storm, and now they're well over a million without power. I think some of that has gotten back on, but still, not even half the power outages have been restored for a day. I hate to say things that are kind of obvious, but it still strikes me. That's America. I mean, like, Puerto Rico is the United States. Now, it's not one of the states, but it is. We own that. And they've had a power outage for a day because of, it's really unbelievable. 437-1620, one of the things we have not had a chance to do today, because obviously we've been dealing with the New Orleans story, which is awful. But one of the things I had intended for today was just to talk about sort of the most significant, you know, news events of the year. This, to me, this year was actually a very easy year to figure out what was the most important, at least at the national level. I thought Newsweek actually did a good one. They kind of asked their staff what they thought. And the answers are the very obvious top of the line. The Trump assassination attempt. Two of them. But the one, obviously, in Butler, where he was shot, and then his reaction to it and the implications from that. Okay, that was clearly one of the top news stories. It may have changed the course of the election, don't know, but certainly would have changed the course of the country had the assassin succeeded. Biden dropping out of the election after the debate performance, all of the protestations by Democrats about his competence, and then the obvious that it was not, and then him pulling out, and then Kamala getting in, and everything surrounding that, obviously another one of the major stories of the year. What would have happened in the election had that not happened, or what would have happened if Biden had gotten out or not run for re-election at all, because he had, you know, promised that he would be a bridge candidate. And actually, that, you know, Newsweek had another story that I happened to catch that was, or no, no, it was NPR, sorry. Questions you'd love to ask Biden if you'd be willing to answer them. Because he doesn't, right? And one of the questions was, you promised to be a bridge candidate to the future of the Democratic Party. Why didn't you? That's a fair question. Interesting. The Trump hush money conviction, another big story for this year. There are often, you know, obviously a lot around Trump and Biden. A Supreme Court's ruling on the immunity for the president is a big deal. And then, weirdly, even though it just happened, I'd almost forgotten about this. The fall of the Syrian government. It's kind of a major story. Now, those are national or international stories. Locally, I think the big stories would be in Florida, and they're all election related. The abortion amendment failing and the marijuana amendment failing. Huge political stories in Florida, because what would have been if those had passed, right? How different this state would have been. I think the camping ban passed by the state legislature and being enacted by local folks is going to turn out to be a big story for the year. Jeff Bergosh losing in District 1, massive story in Escambia County. Sam Parker and James Calkins losing in Santa Rosa County, massive story in Santa Rosa County. And then Matt Gaetz being out, as well as the Milton City Council clean sweep and the Pensacola City Council all getting reelected. Those are all big stories for this year. And there was one other one. What was the other one I was going to? Oh, the text message case, again, involving Jeff Bergosh and the $5 million settlement with the Medicare fraud and the SLAPP lawsuit and all of that kind of stuff. So those would be my picks for the big news stories of the year. I don't have a preference for which one over which other one, but I thought that was at least an important thing for us to note here on New Year's Day. Pray for your friends. Pray for New Orleans. And we'll see you tomorrow.